Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The basis for today's scripture reading, the sermon as well, is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is our text. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to show and display immediate prejudice. I like Elijah. Elijah was introduced to me as a 9-year-old boy in Lincoln, Nebraska, at a church with a vicar who was he looked like a giant of a man. He had red hair that looked like it went out to here. And when he spoke, all the children listened. And so in some strange way, I see Elijah as a giant of a man with red hair, proclaiming God's word. And I will never be able to get that out of my heart. But I also like Elijah, as I have grown in years, and you have too seen this with Elijah. He wore his heart on his sleeves. He did everything that God had commanded him, an amazing feat. And he knew that he paid a price for it. I mean, he was threatened. He was isolated. He suffered from isolation. He was in exile. I mean, it was just awful, and it was terrible for him. But he pointed us to the supremacy of our Lord God and the salvation of all people. Elijah the prophet was in the Old Testament and on the Mount of Transfiguration in the New Testament. This is a force to be reckoned, the prophet Elijah. Well, it's rather interesting in this text that we don't hear anything about Elijah until the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. And he literally bursts on the scene, and he has a job to do. The Lord God tells him to go to Ahab, a wicked and despicable monarch, considered to be among the worst of Israel's king, and proclaim to him. Now, the whole litany of what Ahab has done is a bit lengthy for our time this morning, but a couple of the big ones that he had done is he put false god artifacts into the temple. Absolute prohibition. Wrong on all accounts. And the second, that he married Jezebel's daughter to form an alliance. God forbids it. And he did it. And Elijah proclaimed against him. And God says, Elijah, you now need to leave. Go. I want you to go east. And that's significant for us this morning. You know, of all the events of Elijah's life that we know about,
Initially, this is not an exciting one. This doesn't look like a big one. This is not fiery chariot talk. This isn't him doing some raising of someone from the dead. This isn't all that exciting. Perhaps an initial read you may think, what's here? There's something here. There's something important, strong, and significant for the children of God redeemed under Christ and our mission as a church. So Elijah goes to this town called Zarephath, Sidon, outside of Israel, not part of the chosen tribes. And he confronts a widow. A widow, a prophet on the run, and a son we know very little, if nothing, about. We hear of the hopelessness of their condition, brought about by Ahab. First, there's no rain, and then drought, and then starvation. If I would be permitted to do a sidebar, when I was at the Command and General Staff College, we were asked to attend a briefing as officers on North Korea. And one of the biggest concerns globally about Korea, North Korea especially, is that they're so close often and frequently to starvation. And whether the instructor told us whether you're in favor of Korea politics or North Korea and how they do things, no one should starve to death. That is among the most horrific forms of death, is starvation. And I can't help but bring that into our text about the horrificness of it. And how this widow had worked out the plan based on all the information that she knew, that she would bake that last cake. Her son would eat it, he would eat it, and then they would just wait for this horrible form of death, starvation. Now, this is more than just an event about what happens when there's a disaster and travesty and when a king falls from God's grace. There's even more going on here than the virtue of the long-suffering widow. Now, I am not contradicting the responsibility of the church. I mean, the word widow is mentioned 102 times in Holy Scripture. We cannot ignore that. And most of these widows are on this long list of people that we are required to show acts of kindness, lest we be punished by the wrath of God. And so the Lord knows widows, and the Lord loves widows. But that's not what's going on in this text. Other things I've seen and read concerning this text certainly do not apply, and that is a prosperity gospel. I heard one such application as I was preparing this sermon, and it goes something like this. You have to do something benevolent, and you have to do something risky. Do what the widow did. Step out. Give the last bit of food away. Bake your loaf. Eat the final portion of flour and drain out the last measure of olive oil. And if you do, then you will receive wealth and health and be filled. There is no room for the prosperity gospel here. There are simply two points to make from the actions and activities of Elijah and Zarephath and Sidon: the mercy of God and the promise of salvation for all. The first, this is an incredible act of compassion extended by God through the prophet. The woman was no different than any other widow at that time. We don't hear of any particular reason she was set apart. We have no indication that anyone else in Zarephath was better off or worse off than her, regardless of status. So it is the love of God that's illustrated in this event. God extends grace and love to her by sparing her and her son during the time of calamity and devastation on a global scale. We hear that the jar is now bottomless. The gift of flour is without end. She lives, the son lives, the prophet lives, but there is more to this event. This event is about salvation. This is about the Lord God, the King of the universe, who comes to save all humanity from their sin. It's an event retold, yes, it's retold hundreds of years later by the Lord Jesus. After he had proclaimed himself based on the scroll of Isaiah and he sat down and the crowd is starting to stir against him, Jesus says these words. Doubtless you will quote to me the proverb, physician, heal thyself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Jesus tells us that this event is important. The widow of Zarephath and Elijah are all about the universal salvation by grace through faith. And so we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This gospel is so powerful. It turns the hardened heart. It transforms the lonely. It gives comfort to those that feel lost. It is extended to you and to me and to the world freely. The gospel. And this is what Jesus said to us concerning that which we know so well. He says, proclaim the good news to the poor. Recover the sight to the blind. Set at liberty those who are oppressed. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is typified by Elijah at Zarephath. It is that same gospel preached by Christ. It is a gospel personified by Christ on the cross. This is a gift brought to us this morning. The gospel is an unstoppable force. It is not held captive by boundaries or cultures. Its purpose is to set us free. And we are children of the Heavenly Father. And so we can sing, neither death nor life shall ever from the bond his children sever. His the loving purpose only, to preserve us pure and holy. Elijah points to the prophecy of Jesus, the good news of Christ Jesus, comfort and the peace of God, won only on the cross. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.